funny, kind of. It's funny until everybody leaves. I want to thank Ed for preaching last Sunday. What a good word. Amen? I was sitting there at home listening. I was like, man, he's a good preacher. Why they put up with me? Y'all shouldn't say it. Y'all went right along with that too well. I've been sitting at home and listening to all the political stuff and all the controversy, and then you got COVID stuff on top of that. Man, what an emotional 10 days. I'm at home sometimes thinking, preparing messages like this. Man, I hope everybody's as mad as I am about this. Y'all get it. Just stay with me. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, tender my heart a little bit, you know. And then I, you know, like come down. I'm like, well, maybe I'll be softer on this side. And man, that'll be. But what if that's not the measure? You know what I'm saying? But then God really has been good to me. The last 24 hours or so, I had so many. All I do is write messages, really, to be honest with you. I just sit and write and write and write and write. But then I was like, man, so many things are on my mind and my heart. And then this morning when I woke up, the Lord said, listen, I'm going to give you a laundry list of stuff to say. You stick to the list. Amen? And I was like, God, Lord, you sound like my wife. He's like, yeah, that's why I gave it to you. I've given you a list. Just stay on the list, and you'll get through this morning. You won't hurt nobody. All right? So we're good. So that's what we're going to do in Hebrews 13. I wanted to say thank you to everybody who prayed for us and everybody who drove by and dropped something off. God, that was so awesome. I mean, we had people that were backing in our driveway. If you haven't been to my house, pretty weird, but I love it because it's out in the middle of nowhere. But like you had to back up to the back. You don't have to back up to the back porch, but some of y'all did because we had COVID. I think where y'all get a running start, or if we came out, you'd just. But people were putting stuff on our back porch, like food, like an offering. And we'd walk out there and there it would be. And then we'd take it in the kitchen to eat it. I was like, this might be the best thing's ever happened. And me and my wife, we ain't ate carbs in like 2 years, but the first thing that arrived at our house was chicken and dumplings. Oh my God, that was like manna. I'm like, I don't care. And then chili from Wendy's, it's Lamar's recipe. It showed up. It was awesome. But it's funny, like our living room, my office and the kitchen is on this side of the house where my driveway runs down, and you just see people, whoom! Leaving, you know, COVID area after they've dropped off their offering. But the funny thing about it is I didn't care. It's like, see ya, sucker. See what they brought. That was good for about the first 3 or 4 days. After that, we went crazy. All right. Anyway. Yeah, it's one of them mornings. All right. So right about 24 hours ago, God gave me a message. I called Scott. I said, hey, Scott, this is the song. Hey, get on this song right here. And then the Lord was like, oh, I couldn't settle on it all night. It was Mephibosheth, and it's look what grace has done for me. Look where grace found me. And then all of a sudden, God boiled that down to three little things for you this morning. This was bonus preaching. One, he said, where is he? Thank God. Are you excited this morning that I don't know who you are or where you from or you're from? Aren't you glad that one day God said, where is he? Or where is she? When I read that, it's 2 Samuel chapter 9. Go back and read the whole chapter. This is bonus preaching. But he said, where is he? Man, I lost it. Because I remember me being Mephibosheth and God saying, where is he? I knew God knew where I was at, but it's still good to hear out of the mouth and the heart of God, where is he? I'm not a female, so let's put it this way. Where is she? Remember when you got to the place where you were the most lost? Anybody? Does anybody remember where you were when you were lost? God, if you don't remember that, you're not going to remember who God is. That's why we're in the trouble we're in 2021 and the country we're in and the situation we're in, because we forgot where God found us. And if we don't remember where God found us, why in the world would you think that he's going to finish with us? Because he found me somewhere. Since he found me somewhere, I think I know the end. He didn't find me to lose me again. He didn't find me to go, oh, Kevin, good luck. Hope you make it. It's more like this. I got an expected end for you. Then I love when Ziba, the servant, answers and said, I know exactly where he is. Whew. If I lose it and I can't finish, even get to the message I'm supposed to get to, somebody else please preach and finish this. It says he's in Lodabar. I've looked up every kind of understanding of what Lodabar is. It means no pasture. That means nowhere to eat. And then there's another understanding of it. It says without. That's good for me. Without. Because that's where I was. That's where you were. I don't care how awesome of a saint you are today. When Jesus found you, you were without. The servant, the Spirit of God came back. I don't care what came back on your behalf. The herald went out, where is she? The answer came back, without. And God said, go get them. Go read that story sometime, because it's amazing. Mephibosheth, he comes, he's crippled in both legs. They drug him to Jesus. Some of y'all need to get a drug problem. Some of y'all need to get drugged to Jesus. They brought him up there, and he's scared out of his mind. And Jesus, he's like, why am I here? Why am I here? Why have you brought me into a place? Why have you brought me into a good place when I came from a bad place? You ever felt like that? It helped me every once in a while. If you just act like you're a list, just say, hey, man, that's good. Were you ever in a bad place and God brought you to a good place? I mean, some of y'all sitting here right now, you look good, cleaned up. I mean, I don't know how many years you're into this faith thing, but I'm going to be honest with you. I go to my closet. It's pretty exciting stuff. I go in there, and I'm looking. I'm like, man, I don't know, man. I went through 6 sweaters to come out of this gym right here. 6 of them. How blessed are we? I can remember days going to a closet just hoping I had some clothes. Rifle through them, put on a dress. But man, I'm going to tell you right now, God has been so good to us. Brought us into good place. But I could just see him sitting there. He goes, man, I was lost. I was without. And here I am in a good place. And the first thing God says, don't fear. Stop. If I could tell you anything in 2021, stop. If you're saved, number one, if you're saved, stop living in fear. Stop. Well, how do I do that? Just make up your mind that God is bigger and better than this world is. And stop. And think of things that you can do and people you can help. And number two, if you are not saved, be as scared as you want to be. I'm serious. Be petrified in fear. Not of what this world can do to you, but where you're going to end up without Jesus. Be in total fear. Because you're living on borrowed time. And barred breath. You're inhaling and exhaling with no promise of what happens past eternity. You need to have Jesus. That's Mephibosheth in a nutshell. So take your Bibles, go to Hebrews 13. Some of you are going like, right now, y'all were hoping. Yeah, I mean, y'all were really hoping that you would forget. Kevin, please forget that Hebrews 13 was where you said to go. Let's count that as the sermon. That was a sermon at. Amen. Let's get y'all ready to get in the laundry list. Can y'all handle a laundry list of things? Come on, some of you are analytical people, and I'm not one of them. But can you? I can point somebody out in here as analytical. So you analytical tonight, y'all should love this. Just make you a little list and go by it and start checking them off. And if you're not doing these things, start doing them. If you are doing them, put a little praise hands right there beside that. You know what praise hands are. I'm gonna say and do whatever I feel like today, y'all. Deal with that. Let brotherly love continue. Are you letting that happen? Are you loving people? Or are you hating people? Are you angry with people, bitter with people? Are you loving people? It starts. You can practice here, and you got to carry it over out in the world. Amen? You start here. If you can't love at the house of God, you're in trouble. I've been in church. Matter of fact, I'll just be wild and radical. I've been to this church before when some people wouldn't love the other people. It's miserable. You come in here and you think the biggest problem I got is sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. What a mess. Your biggest problem's you. You need to get on the altar and say, God, fix the biggest problem I got, me. Because I'm hating people that I should love. And a lot of times, you know who you hate? People that remind you of somebody. You. Whew. I'm going to get away with a lot this morning. Some of y'all are just going to write this down as fever talk. But how in the world are you going to expect to win anybody to Christ with hating everybody? Love is the biggest understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about weird icky love, but I am talking about this. When you love like Christ loved you, then you begin to start to see that there is hope. There was a man on the cross who was dying next to Jesus and seen the love of God and said, I want that. Could you lead anybody to Christ on your worst day, or would it take your best day? I mean, will it take your best day? Will it take everything going your way? Or would it take you going through your worst possible day? And God says, forgive them, Father. I believe that's what tilted it. I believe it says in the scriptures they both railed on him. They both were mad. That God, if you get crucified, you're going to be mad. Not that you didn't deserve it. It's just because you got caught. And they were making fun of him. Could you imagine? Y'all just bear with me. I'm going to be a while right here. Could you imagine making fun of somebody else that was crucified right next to you? It's kind of funny, ain't it? I used to be that stupid. When I was lost, I would make fun of people in the same situation I was in. Just as lost, just as messed up, just as much trouble, but somehow they were a little bit better than me. There's Jesus hanging on the cross, and these two guys are like, look at this guy. Man, what an idiot. Carrying the same crosses. But somewhere in the midst of it, one of them started listening. All you got to do is let some people listen to your conversation. Amen? That'll either win them or run them away. I believe with all my heart. Jesus said, forgive them. And all of a sudden, he's like, man, this guy's forgiving people on the cross. How in the world do you do that? Matter of fact, I don't know if I'm ever going to get off here. Probably not. But I want some of what he has. Does anybody want what you have? Does anybody ever just go, you know what? I want what you got. Man, your love's so intense. Your forgiveness is so intense. Your passion is so intense. Man, I just can't get over it, man. When you should be upset, man, right now, Christians, our love should be coming out in such a way. Man, we should be praying for people and loving people despite of everything going against us. And it's an order. Let brotherly love continue. Man, I had to almost mark that word. I didn't mark it out in my Bible, you righteous folk. I had to let it start. Have you ever had to restart that one? Be not forgetful, verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I don't like that verse at all. I'm being honest with you. When I first read that, I'm thinking, no, somebody messed up and just put that in there. Have you ever thought about how good God is? Well, God would do that to you, though. You know he wasn't going to send nobody that looked or acted like an angel. He'd send somebody to get on your nerves. Amen? He would send somebody that would come to you at the most inconvenient moment and acts in such a way, they're so nice and so kind, but you would have a tendency not to treat them right. God says, be careful, those strangers. I can't wait till we get to heaven and watch that on the big screen, right? I mean, we'll be sitting there and you're going, not that guy. Come. Not that girl. Man, that was only a transfer, so I didn't think that was a real angel, Lord. That's what it's going to be. I believe God puts people in our way, in our path, to see how we're going to act. How we're going to treat some people. And I believe he brings them when we're least wanting some angels to show up. I almost know for a fact I had one show up at one point in my time. And it was a bad day, but it made the day better. So God says, you know what? Be careful. Put that on your laundry. Be careful how you entertain people you don't know. Amen? people that all of a sudden just seems like, man, it's miraculous that you showed up today, that you showed up today and here, because you know what? I'm having a bad day. I'm about to say anything or do anything, and here you are. You know what? Maybe you might want to just write that. You know what? What if God put that in the Bible just to make sure we acted right? This could be it. This could be that day that an angel shows up. Amen? Remember them that are in bonds as bonds with them, and them which suffer adversity, and being yourself also in body. I don't believe this means just remember everybody that's in prison. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love prison ministry. But I believe this is, you know what? There are some Christians out there that are doing worse than you are. You know what I mean? I know it seems radical here in America, but you know what? There's underground churches still. There's people who are in prison, not for anything else other than, you know what they said? I believe in Jesus Christ. I'll worship Him instead of worshiping what everybody tells me to worship. And you know what? They've been put in prison and they're going through adversity for it. You know what? We need to thank God every once in a while. You know what? Things might be crazy. Things might get crazy. We might have to have an underground church sometime, but we don't today. Here we sit, worshiping Jesus Christ in public with our faith. Matter of fact, while we have it, are we using it? Amen? I'm praying for people that are in bond. I'm praying. You know what I mean? And I'm praying that one day if I'm in the situation where I'm at, they'll be praying for me. Amen? Verse 4. Whew, write this one down. It's good. Marriage is honorable. No, let me say it again because some of y'all look skeptical. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. If you're married, act like it. If you're married, cherish your wife. If you're married, cherish your husband. Amen? Can I give y'all just a real quick? Nobody teaches this anymore in church. They should. You know how you want to stay married? Keep dating. Amen? I'm serious. Keep dating. Amen? Don't act like you've got claimed territory that ain't ever going to be taken away. Oh, gosh. Some of y'all want me to move on, but I will not. Amen? I'm just being honest with you. Some of y'all act like you've got claimed territory that like you put the flag, you're like, okay, it's mine the rest of my life. I ain't got to do nothing else. Nobody else wants that territory. Amen? Nobody else there wants her. Nobody else there wants him. You should act like it. You should act like it. Go to school about your mate. Not just to the eighth grade. Not just to high school. Go to college. Get a four-year degree. Get a master's. And then you know what? Teach some classes. What are you talking about? Constantly, constantly pursue your mate. Amen? Marriage is an honorable thing. You know what? God giving you a partner in this life. Somebody to help you. You know what? That was one of the greatest things. It took me forever. It took me actually till I got saved and I started living that God, I realized this whole time God has given me somebody that helps me because they're not me. All her strengths are my weaknesses. It's amazing. She don't have any weaknesses. But it's amazing to me, God sends a helpmate to fortify where I'm weak. I need to honor that and cherish that and thank God for it. It's honorable to be a husband. It's honorable to be a wife. In this time and era we live in, it almost sounds like something that's archaic and gone, but it's not. It's one of the greatest partnerships you'll ever have. It's one of the greatest things. It's one of the greatest friendships you'll ever have. It's honorable. Can I give y'all one more on that? I think I will. You know what else it is? It's a tutorial. It's a tutorial for your children. They're watching you be married. They're watching you argue. They're watching you fuss. They're watching you get over it. They're watching you forgive. They're watching you love. And hopefully they're watching you flirt and they're getting sick of it. Some of you are like, well, I wouldn't do it. There's something wrong with you. I want my kids to go, gah, stop. Get over yourselves. Why? Because you know what? I want them to be like, you know what? I want my wife and I want to be that. I want to be married. Amen? There's another word we don't throw around our home. It's called divorce. We don't talk about it. We're not having one. We're not going anywhere. Maddest I've ever been at her, and the maddest she's ever been at me, it'll end up with this right here. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere. You know why? Because people need to know. When everybody walks out all the time, it's easy to walk out all the time. Amen, preacher, good preaching. You're helping us this morning, Lord. And preacher, thank you. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Pray, ain't that a good promise in there? One thing, stop worrying about what you don't have. God, I got to hear this all the time. I'm serious. I got to hear this all the time. The devil gets in my ear, and he said, I hope y'all don't mind me just telling y'all the truth. Does the devil ever get in your ear and say, time's a ticking? Time's ticking. You're running out of time. And I got to laugh about that because I'm an eternal being now. I'm going to live for eternity. I ain't never going to run out of time. This is the shortest time I'm ever going to have is here. But guess what? He always, man, you got to do more. You got to go further, man. This is there. You know, you got to have this kind of home. You got to have this kind of car. Gotta have this. And I'm sitting there going, what? What? You know what? That's what happens when you're lost. That's the kind of stuff you think about when you're lost. Because when you're lost, you think if you just get everything else, you're going to be satisfied. Anybody ever been down that trail? When you get saved, guess what? You learn how to be satisfied with Jesus and what he brings into your life. It's enough. Amen? I'm being honest with you. Everything that you get outside of God will not satisfy you. Everything that you get in Christ Jesus will be satisfying to you. It's amazing. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Some of y'all need to make that your anchor verse right now. I'm serious. Some of y'all need to put that one down because y'all are sitting here thinking, man, what in the world's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know one thing. Jesus is on board. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't leaving me. He ain't forsaking me. Amen? He might have to walk in the courtroom with you. He might have to walk in that place with you. He might have to stand in those places with you. But guess what? He says, I will with you. I will go with you. My wife said something amazing last night. It was mind-blowing. Most of the scriptures that we love and we read and we're excited about happen in the most dangerous times. I'm always on this one. Man, remember Daniel? Man, remember when he was in the, somebody say it, lion's den? Well, how do you get in the lion's den if you don't get in trouble? I mean, on a good day, they ain't going to just take you down and put you in the lion's den. But guess what? When everything's going bad, what they do? They threw him in the lion's den. Man, on the worst day, when everything wasn't going his way, when they told him not to pray, when they told him not to serve, I will anyway. You know what God said? God said, they can throw him in the lion's den, I'll go with you. The more trouble you get in with God, the more he goes with you. It's when you try to avoid things with God in it is where you're in trouble. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I needed that on my laundry list in 2021. Amen? Let's go a little further. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, thank God, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me, not even a little. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of the conversation. You know what it says? I hate using this term, but I'll use it today. Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. Sometimes you got to get a real strong Christian person in your life, get them in your mind and say, they walk through it, I walk through it. What he was saying right there, he goes, you know, there's some people who've taught you the word of God, they walked it out, they've done it. He goes, do like they've done. Hey, just follow their footprints, amen? Follow the footprint, and you know what? Somebody will follow yours one day. Have y'all ever had to be a parent? Like a real parent? Have you ever been scared out of your mind and have to lead your kids and your wife? And they're all going, man, don't worry, Dad's got it. And you're sitting there going, I got it, but I'm going to act like it. And you just make one decision after another decision and a thought, another thought, and you just try to keep coming. And all of a sudden, you know, 5 years down the road, remember that one time, Dad, you just had it in control? And you said, well, the whole time I was just white-knuckling it myself. I didn't really know what I was doing. I couldn't panic like everybody else was panicking. I couldn't quit like everybody else is going to quit. That's all it is in faith sometimes. Sometimes you just got to make up your mind. You know what? I don't want to go. I don't feel like going to church. I'm just going to go. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm just going to read it. I don't feel like praying. I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to shout. I'm just going to shout. I don't feel like shouting. I'm just going to shout anyway. Man, I feel like giving in and giving up. I feel like quit. You know what? I'm not going to. I had a good sister. I had a good sister in faith who didn't give up. I had a good brother in faith who didn't give up. Praise God, I ain't giving up. Amen? Ain't you glad God put some markers in your life? Have you got any markers in your life that walked? Man, I've got one. Praise God. I stood by his casket. I stood there beside my dad's casket. I mean, me and my dad, every Thanksgiving, every Christmas for about 15 years, this was the best part of Christmas for me. Don't judge me. Best part of Thanksgiving for me is we'd eat, but me and him would walk around this big old field for an hour afterwards, just talking. God, I'm about to lose it. We'd walk around that field for an hour after just talking about ministry, just talking about stuff, and I would just sit there and listen to him talk, you know, and he would tell me things about ministry, he'd tell me things about God, tell me things about Scripture, then he'd ask for me, he goes, what do you think about that? And I would tell him, and I mean, we would walk around that field, and I felt like, I'm sitting here just talking to the most spiritual person in the world, thank you, it's my dad, thank God, but you know what, on the very last time that I ever stood in a place like that with my dad, his casket was right here, and I stood right here, and it seemed like everybody disappeared, and I just stood there, and I said, this is as far as I can go with you, Dad. This is as far as I can go. But I look forward to a day when I'll stand by you again and walk with you again. But thank you for walking it out in front of me my whole life. And I'm going to try to do the same thing for my son, my daughter, my wife. You left some good steps. I'm going to try to leave some too. Some of y'all need to make up your mind that, you know what? I'm going with God no matter what because I've had some good examples. And if you hadn't had some good examples, be one. Be one. Jesus Christ the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therewith. Golly, I was going to leave that one alone, just move on, but I want to give this to you. Be a steady Christian. Can I say that in here? Be a steady Christian. Don't be a flag-flying, pew-jumping, Holy Ghost shouting, run the aisles, fall on the floor, lay hands, pray. Don't be all that and on Monday be a hypocrite. Then on Monday nobody could find you with a flashlight or a search warrant. Don't be Monday, you're a mean-spirited, hard-hearted, mean person at work or in your family. Don't be so spiritual. I feel the Holy Ghost. I see the Holy Ghost. I've done this. Our church does that. Then praise God. When you're who you are and who you can be, God is nowhere around to be found. Amen. It would be better for you to be consistent than to be wild. Whew. When God gave me that one, he said, you won't preach that. You ain't got enough nerve. Because you know what? There's a couple times in the Scripture. There was one time. I love it. Jesus was talking about the devil and talking about casting out devils, and then somebody stood up. Sometimes it's better to be quiet in the Scripture. It is. All of a sudden, this lady stands up and goes, blessed be the womb and the paps that gave you suck. Jesus said, no, it's better for them to hear the word of God and obey it. Have you ever tried to say something super spiritual and God just blow you up? I mean, I bet she thought she was saying something amazing. God, it's blessed to be your mom. Yeah, it would be blessed to be my mom, but it'd be better if you would hear the word of God and do it. Then there was another time that Jesus was talking about going to heaven. He was talking about who's going to sit on my right hand and on my left side, who is great and who wouldn't. And everybody was listening, and somebody spiritual again jumped up. Blessed are those who are going to sit in heaven with you and eat with you. I go, not really. The ones that are blessed are hear my word and do it. Ain't that amazing? Sometimes we want to do things. Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me right here. I know. We were way up here. Now we're down here, Kevin. I really don't care about emotions, how we feel. Watch this right here. God wants you to be an everyday steady Christian. He does. He wants you to be able to walk with him no matter how you feel or what's going on. He loves it when you shout, and he loves it when you're silent. He loves it when you're running the aisles, and he loves it when you can't even get up out of the pew. He loves it. He does, as long as your heart's right. Amen? Sometimes we look at some people, man, they must be the most spiritual people in the world. Sometimes I hear people say they're doing all this prophetic stuff. Oh, they're saying this and they're saying that. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. I've had people in the last 10 days. This is exactly what's going to happen. I'm like, man, I wish God would have told me. God is like, God ain't got that channel on me. I mean, I must not got the right subscription. All I got is God, just keep following me, keep trusting me, keep loving me, keep doing what I called you to do. I called you to preach the gospel. Do that! But what happened? Don't worry about that. Here's something. You know what? God says, I didn't tell them either. They're just making it up. You know what's the scariest thing in the world to do? Is say God said something and him didn't say it. Amen? Just jump out there and say, in 10 days, this is what's going to happen. When it don't happen, you might as well pack up. Your day's over. God will come back one day. Amen? And I don't know what day that is. But the scripture said it like this. When you least expect it. In a day where you least expect it. So like right now, he might not be coming back today. Because I kind of expect it. But let me tell you this. There will be a day when you get up and you'll be like, man, this is the best day. Man, God, I'm glad I got plenty of time. Amen? That's how he's going to come back. Let me finish, I promise. I'm about done. Y'all got your laundry list filled out? I hope so. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. This is a really good thought right here. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. This all that means is, guess what? Don't do all your great work here. Do it out there. Jesus didn't even die inside of Jerusalem. He died on the outskirts. Because guess what? The lost people are on the outskirts. The people we need to reach are not always going to be in this church. I worry about anybody who says, when they come in here, we're really going to get them. No, it's your job to bring them in here. It's your job. It's your position to bring people to the house of God. They can hear about the preaching, they can hear about the singing, they can hear about the programs, but literally what they got to say is somebody who makes them thirsty and hungry for the righteousness of God. They should be able to look at you and go, man, I don't know where you feed at, but I want to go. I don't know where you got to, but that's where I want to be. But it's outside of here. Church is awesome. Man, I feel like sometimes as a pastor, I feel like I fail at this right here. Man, you shouldn't knock the church so much. I don't knock the church. I'm just saying, guess what? This is my fishing hole. I put up a sign out here, no fishing. It's my spot. Yours is out there somewhere. This is where we fish. You fish out there and you bring your fish in here and we let what? God clean them up, right? All right, we let God clean them up. Somebody asked me, I don't know who it was. We let God clean them up here. I don't fix nobody. If you want me to fix you, you'll be in trouble. Amen. Let me finish this right here. I promise this time. I said that. How many times have I said let me finish? Okay, good. As long as y'all keep. For here we are. Continuing in the city. Verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Is that true? Y'all looking for? Man, I do. I'm looking for that city. This is not my home. Amen. Thank God. Just shout every once in a while. Shout that one out. This is not our home. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I'm going to close right there. For all, listen, give God the praise off the fruits of your lips. Praise God continually. Praise God continually. Even if you're not a loud, outspoken person, praise God continuously with your lips. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. On a good day or on a bad day. Whether you can sing or not sing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God's given this thing today to us, a laundry list of things. You know what? If we do these things right here, I believe with all my heart, if you've done those things, just keeping up with those scriptures right there, you would begin to change your altitude, your attitude, and your aptitude with other people. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. I know it's helped me. I know it's helped me today and it'll help me tomorrow. Let's all stand.